First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on a TV set. When I'm in control on your roll, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Yes, Brayden Harrington here with not my usual British companion, Davey Portman. Shout out, Davey P. Happy birthday to your mama. He's got the night off, but I am joined by obvious friend of the show. Up next, icon, host of Shot in the Dark, a one Mr. John Cena Evil. How are you, good sir?
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. I'm here to co-host Up Next with Brayden Harrington tonight. How's it going?
Yes. Hello. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sad news for wrestling fans, right? Like Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, rest in peace, rest in power, Chico, man. That was all over tonight's episode of NXT, but that's kind of the big kind of sad news. I see you're rocking the NWO hat for those in the chat. Shout out the Twitch chat here tonight. Davey will be back. We'll be back tomorrow night with another BD Elite on Twitch and all that. But we record these shows on Twitch, and then we put the audio up on our podcast feed. So wherever you're listening to us, hey, thanks. Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe or comment. But Mr. Cena, how's it going?
It's going good, yeah. I mean, obviously without the tragedy that we've been going through the past couple of days, it's been pretty rough. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into, you know, the whole Scott Hall thing, but he's one of the guys that, like, really, like, is, like, one of the pillars for, like, the start of, like, my wrestling fandom, like, my real wrestling fandom. He's, like, one of the four guys that I've always, like, followed his career and kind of, like, it kind of, like, molds my history as far as, like, my wrestling fandom goes. So, yeah, it was pretty tough, man, you know, with the whole, like, him, you know, being on life support and then just kind of like the inevitable happening. And then it literally happened right. Like it didn't hit until like Raw started and they started with the graphic. We're like, oh, this is it. Like it just,
yeah,
you know, sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad news. I'm kind of in the same way. I know I got into wrestling a lot later, but when I did, it was still one of the first ones that, you know, like people in my family would mention like, oh, you don't know wrestling. You don't know Razor Ramon. Like he was the, you know, the one, like it's very, what, Scarface, the video tribute that they play, the WWE aired with the whole clips of those vignettes. Those ones are iconic. Yeah. All the ones where he's, you know, just dripping, looking so swagged out and just being a dick, a bad guy. I love those ones. But yeah, those were like how I definitely started getting like the character alone, right? Like everyone knew who he is. And of course, NWO, just so huge. But yeah.
I mean, the first wrestling show I ever went to was WrestleMania 10. So the first belt I had to get was this title. And the main reason why I got this title is for guys like Razor and Shawn and Brett. And, you know, so it's like, yeah, and then the whole NWO thing. I never really watched WCW until Scott Hall came over there. And then once he was there, I'm like, yeah, I need to watch this every night. And then my mom was a huge NWO fan, more Kevin Nash, if anything. But we like religiously would watch like Raw and WCW at the same time, like on two different TVs. And whenever it was NWO time, I always let go of whatever was on Raw. And went over there and, yeah, just followed his whole career. I'm just happy he's in a better place now. Like, obviously, he's been through a lot of stuff. It was great to see his last couple years, like, go to the Hall of Fame twice and kind of clear himself up and just see him just at the PC working with the young guys and girls. And it was just great to see him, like, finally, like, I guess, like, become, like, the guy that we knew, in a way. So that was happy. I feel like at least he, like, ended his life on a high note.
Yeah, it's like if we followed his career and we knew a lot about his personal life, we were kind of happy. I mean, I think his Hall of Fame speech obviously is just iconic. It's something that almost transcends out of the world of wrestling. Like it's just become one of the biggest quotes like ever in wrestling. The, you know, bad times don't last, but bad guys do. It's awesome. So yeah, I mean, that kind of felt like he got his flowers. And then, yeah, technically a two-time Hall of Famer there. So, but yeah, I mean, you always see people at shows, at Mania Weekend, rocking the famous Razor Ramon shirt. I mean, NWO shirts out of the question, obviously. It's just already the biggest. But, like, the Razor shirts or anything like that, like, you always see people. I think even Drake in a music video rocks a Razor Ramon shirt. And I was bumping that Wale Bad Guy freestyle track as well. But yeah,
yeah, and West Side Gun, he was Scott Hall, like, and they had the whole Hall and Nash thing with the Griselda, and he was always Hall.
Right.
So I think he has a Scott Hall tattoo. Like, he's really, like, hardcore wow. Scott Hall fan. So yeah, obviously transcended to hip hop. Razor Scott Hall was always one of those people that kind of like shined outside.
When I first got my own computer as a teenager, I got my first mouse pad, and it was the NWO. I got it at a vintage store. It was Scott Nash and Hogan, the famous picture of them. I don't know why I always had. I don't know if I still have that, but yeah. So every time I use my computer, I look at Scott Hall. Yeah, rest in peace, man. I mean, he was an interesting cat. He was the bad guy that made it cool. So damn, pouring one out, legit. Honestly, RIP to
absolutely.
To a legend. Definitely the bad guy, just so iconic. I say hey yo to every time I text my friends. I not even wrestling friends, just hey yo. That's become such a thing. I mean, the Too Sweet in wrestling was our seek out wrestling fans kind of pose or hand gesture or whatever, handshake, if you will. But yeah. Hey yo is a big thing as well. But yeah, damn. So they definitely talk about that and play the video there. But of course, we had to talk about Scott Hall and stuff. So just damn. I know a lot of other wrestlers put out the statements and everything, but definitely sad. We need to talk about stuff that's happy. We need to honor him as many people did. I mean, we see a lot of references to Scott Hall on this show from NXT tonight, but you see the one from Tanahashi.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Hall put over Tanahashi when he was a young boy. There's a match over there in New Japan where Tanahashi rolls up Hall for the win. So and then you had the whole NWO Japan over there with I just found out today that Kojima was part of NWO Japan. I knew about Tenzan and Chono, obviously, but I had no idea Kojima was down with them. So yeah, obviously connection there with New Japan. Scott Hall would always kind of go back and forth there. Shout out to him coming out to the Fugees in New Japan, as well as ECW. He would come out to Ready or Not by Fugees. So that was always a cool moment. But yeah, I mean, obviously his work transcended and it shows everywhere. You have the Bullet Club, you have guys like Damian Priest, you got Ethan Page doing the Eagle's Edge. Wherever you look, you're going to see somebody that took something from Scott Hall, whether it's his moves or just the things he says, very influential to a lot of people, obviously. In the ring gear, I think for the past 5 years, there's always somebody coming out with some sort of I think FTR had a Scott, had a Scott Hall type gear.
The drip. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the actual, yeah. Not meaning the actual, he always had the red drips. I mean, Britt Baker. Yeah.
LA Knight, Indy Hartwell, it's obviously his gear and everything about him just been influential in everything on wrestling in the last couple of years.
Need that actual razor on a chain.
You know what's funny? I definitely had that. I definitely I don't know how my parents bought that for me or knew what it was, but yeah. I definitely had it. It wasn't actual razor. It was a plastic, but it was supposed to be his symbol, and I wish I still had it to this day.
People would think you're hard, bro. They'd be like, yo, this guy's walking around with a razor? What's wrong with this guy? He's emo or something.
But yeah, yeah. I mean
the wrestling fans knew.
Yeah, of course. The Tony Montana connection just from that alone, right?
Yeah. It's the razor character is very similar to the clearly they watched Scarface and went, oh, yo, that's a good idea.
But, that was the idea. I think that he pitched it to Vince or whoever, and I guess they might not even have known what Scarface was or whatever the story is, but yeah, he ran with it, so.
And then the music too. His music was fire. But yeah, all his gestures and everything. He's got a lot of things in wrestling. He's got. I love the little finger thing you would do. All the poses.
Yeah, the finger, the poses. Him going under the ladder, which is a little strut that we saw Ciampa do tonight. Everything. Love it. All his moves are just amazing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other stuff that kind of happened or that
pour
is
one out for pour one out for Pete Dunne's name.
Oh man, that is hilarious. They really butchered it, eh? I mean, the dude's name is Butch. They put a hat on him, slap a hat on him, and call him Butch Pete Dunne. Holy.
I mean, at this point, I don't even, it doesn't even faze me anymore. It's a WWE thing. They've been doing it forever. They did it to Razor when he was Scott Hall. They did it to Kevin Nash, naming him Diesel. They just, whatever. They're new characters in a new film is how I see it. As long as he still wrestles, and still gets to do his thing. I mean, it's not looking good with his new Peaky Blinders, whatever, outfit that he's wearing. But yeah, then the whole Big E thing was very upsetting. So hopefully he can recover from that fully. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that is very bad. I mean, and that's what? So Butch, a.k.a. Pete Dunne comes in, and then in the same kind of segment and match or whatever, that's when Big E got injured as well. So
Yeah, Ridge Holland did like a suplex and kind of landed right on his head. But
yeah, I hope Biggie
broken neck. But that's geez. You know, yeah, that was the best case scenario was that broken neck by the looks of it. So
that's insane. That's best case scenario. That sounds.
I'm just saying, like it could have been so much worse by like what I've read. You know, it could have been very much worse. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but he's in high spirits coming out of it, so at least.
Yeah, I mean Big E, I hope eventually he can come back and stuff, but damn, that's unfortunate. But as soon as he posted that photo of him like being like, "Hey guys, I'm okay." Like everyone was like a sigh of relief. Like, "Oh, okay. All right." So, yeah. Damn, everyone's kind of pulling for him. So, pulling for Big E. But yeah, Butch is just funny. It's so like you said, it's not even it's so bad. It's like, "All right, it's not even funny anymore." It's like
yeah, I'm like so over the name like thing. It's whatever. Like and people are so surprised about it. Like WWE's been doing it since the beginning. Like they renamed everybody pretty much from the beginning. So it's like at this point, why are you surprised? Like this is just what they do. They're always going to do this. And just that's it is what it is at this point. So
you're saying one day we're going to get a fake Butch? Like fake Razor, but fake Butch.
We the might. Char- never-
the character I mean, of he, Butch.
He's already the fake Butch. The real Butch is from New Zealand. The Bushwhacker. Bushwhacker Butch. So he's already got a fake Butch.
Wow, he's a fake Butch. Yeah, that's so fucked. I just thought it was really weird. I'm trying to think of other stuff because I know people should listen to Shot in the Dark, which is free on this very podcast feed where you run down all the other wrestling. I know this is usually... Your Tuesday nights is when you watch what? Dark?
Is that yeah, watch Dark is on Tuesday nights. I know tonight was a pretty big show. Like the Young Bucks like appeared on Dark, which is like really rare. They like, never appear on Dark. There was like a new referee that debuted tonight. A couple of things that happened on Dark that I have to check out. The NWA I usually cover on Tuesday nights. They're going to have like their Crockett Cup. So they're hyping up like Matt Cardona versus Nick Aldis and all that. Plus the whole Crockett Cup tag team tournament. I went to a House of Glory show this weekend. It was pretty cool. We're supposed to get the Briscoes versus the Lucha Brothers. But I had a feeling like it wasn't going to happen. Like I saw him at the doing the meet and greet. Phoenix at is, but I'm just like, he's not clear to wrestle because he would have been at AEW by now if he was. And then like at the very last second and like in pure like indie wrestling tradition, they're like, he can't be the match, but here's the Lucha cousin and this Aries who I've seen in like MLW whatever. So it was still a great match. Aries is an amazing wrestler. Yeah. But yeah, they actually changed titles because the Lucha Brothers were a tag team champions of House of Glory since before the pandemic, like 2019, and obviously everything happened. They haven't been able to defend it. And the Briscoes are coming in as a Ring of Honor tag champs, and obviously that's interesting now with the whole AEW thing. So both titles are on the line. In the back of my head, I was thinking the Lucha Brothers can probably take the titles from Briscoes if you really wanted to and bring them over to ROH now. I mean, AEW, whatever you want to call it. But no, the Briscoes won, and they took the House of Glory titles, so they're double champions there. So, all this Ring of Honor stuff should be pretty interesting. I know Josh Woods is on Dark tonight. He cut a promo saying, you know, I'm here to defend my pure title to anybody in AEW. So they're definitely going to start some more Ring of Honor integration. I just hope that they announce some more matches for this card that's coming up Mania Week, and there really hasn't been too much hype about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would still like to see the Briscoes versus FTR at that Ring of Honor supercard. I think that is the move if Briscoes aren't going to AEW, like what some reports are saying. But I still want to see the match, so do it at Ring of Honor. Fuck it.
Yeah,
just do it.
We're gonna see it. Yeah, we're gonna see it somewhere.
Yeah. Another thing is like the WrestleMania build, because I felt like tonight's NXT was a pretty big build to WrestleMania. I'm gonna be doing another watch party hangout in Toronto for any of those of you listeners who are interested. The second night, Sunday night, April 3rd, I'm going to be doing it at Sneaky D's. In Toronto, it's going to be lit, so come through. But follow the socials at Up Next Podcast for all the details, and I'll be posting all the Eventbrite stuff in the near future. But just look for that coming in the near future. But are you excited? Are you in WrestleMania mode, John? I know you're a wrestling fan. Are you in that true? To be honest, are you in WrestleMania spirit? It's a few weeks away.
I mean, I kind of was a little upset because for the past month or so, I was like, Cody's going to come back in Jacksonville. Cody's going to come back in Jacksonville. And then I've been watching Raw live, which I haven't really done in a long time. I've been watching it live for the past couple weeks. And yesterday, yeah. I was like convinced that he's going to come out. And like even the way they teased it, like throughout the show, like they were dropping things like Nightmare, saying the word Dashing, this and that. The whole Seth Rollins thing, I'm like, it makes perfect sense. But then like he didn't show up, obviously, but then I was talking to people about it after, and it kind of makes sense, maybe because of the whole Scott Hall thing, maybe they didn't want to debut him or return him, because they kind of obviously would have overshadowed all the news. And then Cody has a connection to Scott Hall. I mean, his dad, Dusty, was close to Scott Hall. His brother, Dustin, with Goldust, was close to Scott Hall. Maybe, you never know, maybe he was backstage and was like, you know what, guys, let's just push it back a week. I don't want to, like, take over the news cycle when Cody returns. That's, you know, you never, I feel like down the road we might find out some more stuff, but I'm, like, pretty convinced that Cody is coming, and next week in Chicago I think has to be it. If not, you're just going to leave the surprise for Mania at this point. But I feel like Cody's going to come in. Like, they literally left the show saying Seth Rollins' dreams have been dashed and now he's going to experience a nightmare. It's like, come on. Like, they wouldn't be saying this much, I don't feel like, unless they knew for a fact that Cody was coming in.
So you're saying WWE is going to do with Cody Rhodes the same that AEW did with CM Punk? They're going to do the little teases. They're going to mention it. Seth is going to have an opponent, and he comes out.
I mean, and it's back in Chicago, right? So why not? They're going to do the next, what do you call it, the next dance? What was the first dance? The next dance?
I mean, it looks like Cody is coming in, and, like, damn, I don't know. I don't know. I want them to have a great match. It's going to be funny. AEW guy is going to go over a WWE guy at WrestleMania. Is that what's going to happen? Or does Seth beat him because, you know?
I think Cody has to win.
I mean, I think Cody has to win.
Yeah. If he loses that Mania, it's just like, it's dead on arrival at that point. It's like, really? Like, you know?
So. Yeah. There's some other matches that are pretty interesting. And have you tried calling Sami Zayn yet?
I haven't, but I've been seeing, like, him on Instagram, like, being repeatedly called over and over again.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville giving his number out.
Yeah, I'm, like, losing track. I feel like there's more celebrities this year than there's wrestlers. You have what? You have Jake or Logan Paul. I still can't remember which one it is.
Yeah,
Johnny Knoxville. You have who else is there? Isn't there another celebrity that's wrestling?
Fuck,
or somebody else involved?
Pat
McAfee, I guess, kind of consider that a celebrity involvement.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania's always been about, like, celebrity involvement, but I feel like this year they're really taking it, like, to the next level. Like, I would expect this maybe next year when they're in Los Angeles to kind of have some more Hollywood-type people. But, you know, at least Pat McAfee, you know, I'm interested in that match with him in theory. Like, I feel like that could be a really good match. You know, obviously, Pat McAfee, we've seen him, you know, do pretty well in NXT, so who knows what could happen there. Jake Paul, Logan Paul, whatever. Who knows? I mean, he's obviously been doing some training, boxing training, so maybe that'll be okay. Johnny Knoxville, I'm, like, more scared, if anything, to watch that because of his, like, concussion history. I don't even want to see him in the ring. He's the one guy I'm just like, I don't want to see Knoxville, like, take any bumps or anything.
He's got to do a destroyer. He's not going to be no Bad Bunny, so.
I wish Bad Bunny was on this year.
Yeah, like, I do too. Like,
Bad Bunny. That's what it's missing.
It's lacking Bad Bunny. Yeah, Bad Bunny was just here. In Toronto, I was trying to get last-minute tickets, but they are pretty expensive. They're a hot commodity for Bad Bunny in the six, apparently. So
yeah, I'm a little upset that Bad Bunny wasn't announced as one of the DLCs in 2K. Like, they released all the characters that are coming out.
Yeah.
He's not one of them. What the hell?
Sorry.
But they got, but they got Jake Paul or whatever, right? Isn't he in it? Or
Jake Paul? Whatever. No, they got MGK.
MGK? I could have sworn
Machine
one of the
Gun
Pauls.
Kelly.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. Yeah, but Bad Bunny should have been an easy DLC. Logan Paul, maybe he is DLC. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like having, MGK in the game is so people can finally beat him up. But yeah, not having Bad Bunny, that's a mistake. That's wrong. That's a no-no. Isn't Jake Paul's the brother? And Jake Paul has just recently tweeted, like earlier today or yesterday, that he's offering Kanye West 30 mil and Pete Davidson 30 mil to fight in a 6-round boxing match on pay-per-view.
You know damn well Vince McMahon would throw some money to make that match happen at WrestleMania. Kanye at WrestleMania against Pete Davidson?
That's fucked. Like, come on. Yeah. I don't know if, like, Wade Barrett brings up Pete Davidson, Kanye, on the show here tonight. But damn. Yeah.
That's all I've been hearing about. Like, at my job, I have a lot of, like, young people that work there. So all they talk about is Kanye and Pete. So that's how I'm, like, keeping up with all this, like, drama is by them, like, explaining what's going on with the, It's bad.
It's great. I was just watching Genius, the documentary. I watched part two, which I thought was pretty good. Yo, before we go to NXT, I know me and you have been watching the new Bel Air reboot.
Yes.
The Fresh Prince reboot. Don't call it a comedy because it's like One Tree Hill, but black, I guess, is the best way to just, like, it's like, it's lit. I can't tell if I hate it or I love it. It's kind of like NXT 2.0, you know?
I'm glad you finally started it. I mean, I'm kind of fell off. Yeah, me too. I haven't seen the last, like, two episodes or so, but from what I saw so far, Jeffrey's a gangster. I can tell you that much. He's just, like, not even a butler anymore. He's just, like, putting hits out or whatever. And then Carlton's just, like, I don't want to spoil it, but he's just, like, holy crap, this is Carlton? Like,
Carlton does drugs. He's the spoiled, you know, guy. Yeah, it's an interesting, it's like, whoa, I grew up watching this sitcom. And now it's turned, all these situations are kind of the same, but now they're just not funny because we live in this society now that things that were funny maybe in the 90s, maybe they aren't so funny anymore.
Yeah, no, imagine now that when they're taking the funny parts and making them serious, imagine the actual serious parts, like when Carlton gets a gun later on. Like, how are they going to treat those episodes? Like, holy crap.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. It makes me wonder, could they do this to other shows or other movies and, like, totally flip the, like, genre of what it was? Because, like, this is taking something that was a completely, like, a sitcom, had a laugh track and everything, like a live audience, and now it's a soap opera almost, like a One Tree Hill or The Hills or whatever kind of, you know, thing. But, yeah, interesting.
Are they going to take Dex? Like, everybody loves Raymond and just have, like, his brother's out to, like, freaking kill him? Like,
yeah, his brother's actually psycho. His parents are actually insane. And, yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know how you would do certain episodes of – no, I'm trying to, like, yeah, take old sitcoms.
I know people have, like, made the joke of, like, Family Matters having, like, a serious Urkel. Like, I think SNL did, like, a parody skit on that. Raquel. So that'd be pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else they could do, like, and make it into a serious thing. What about Alf?
Oh God! Turn it into a drama.
Mork
and Mindy. Yeah, turn it into like a serious, like, oh my God, there's an alien here now.
See being turned into like a drama, like a Three's Company. Like, take that like idea and make it into like more of like a teenage version of Three's Company, but with drama and like, you know. I can see that happening.
I would be down. I mean, whenever I watch, I'm trying to think of those other sitcoms, but what's the sitcom where, like, the – fuck. I watch a lot of – my work – like, I work for – my shoot job, I work at a TV station. We air a lot of retro programming. So, like, if you take, like, Who's the Boss and turn that into a drama, I'll watch it every week. And, you know, he's been trying to get a new one. What's his name? Fuck.
Tony Danza?
Yeah, he's been trying to reboot it with everyone involved who's still alive. But yeah, there you go. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Who's the boss? What about the Batman? You saw the Batman?
I did see it. I feel like it's been so long now since I've seen it. But yeah, it's been good. Actually, I rewatched Spider-Man. I was talking about superheroes, but Spider-Man is finally out now as part of like digital. So I've been watching like the bonus features. So that's pretty cool. Like all the behind the scenes. And it kind of reminds me of the old like WWE like 24 specials, like when they're trying to hide like WrestleMania surprises, but they're talking about it with the, I don't know, if anybody hasn't seen Spider-Man at this point, I'm sorry. But like they're trying to hide like Toby and Andrew, like put them under like cloaks and stuff, like the same way they would have hid like, you know, like a, I don't know, Hardy Boys debuting at WrestleMania or whatever. So that's been pretty cool to see that. But yeah, the Batman was good. I definitely want to see it again. I feel like it's one of those movies that I need to kind of like watch again at home and kind of like understand a little bit more about it. But I don't know if I said this before, but like it literally gave me like fear watching it, like just seeing like the bad guys or the criminals like just awaiting Batman, watching him in the shadows, and finally him coming out. It kind of felt like a horror film in ways. Like, I never actually got, like, fear in me by watching a Batman movie until this one. Like, Dark Knight was dark, but this was, like, darker. This, like, took it, like, a whole different darkness way, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it, too. I haven't heard anybody really say that they haven't really liked it. It did give me different horror vibes, that long Halloween kind of tie-in, but yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of hearing the same thing. Like, everyone kind of feels that way. It's like an older, like, you wouldn't be able to take your kids to that movie, I don't think.
No, like, it's funny, like, I took my son, and I could tell he didn't really enjoy it. Like, he enjoyed parts of it, but you could tell it wasn't, the one thing he kept telling me was, like, oh, it's not, like, fun, like a Marvel movie, which is true, it's not supposed to be fun, but the Riddler's
murdering people, duct taping their faces.
The high points is he loved, like, the Batmobile. He thought that was the coolest car in the world. As soon as the movie was over, he's like, hey, you need to get that Lego Batmobile, and now I have it over here, we need to build it. So the actual Batmobile he loved the fighting scenes, the Batman trying to fly, that was a that got a chuckle out of him. Most of the crowd, I think, laughed at that. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to like a sequel. I mean, I kind of hope like they already fixed the Riddler. I really want them to fix Mr. Freeze. If you ever watched like the animated series, the I forgot what it was called, like the one that's based on Mr. Freeze, I think actually won an Emmy Award. Like
Sub-Zero.
No, not Sub-Zero. It was actually the two-part episode, not a movie, but the actual episodes.
Okay.
I forgot what it was called. Like something by heart, Cold by Heart or something. Right. But they need to take the Mr. Freeze character and give him a serious arc in the next movie, I feel like. But yeah, they're supposed to make it a penguin spinoff like show, an Arkham show. Like they're really gonna take this to the next level. Batman's their only hope, because everything else got pushed back to next year from DC.
Yeah, Batman's the only hope to... I hope it ties in with the Joker universe and all that stuff. And I think they have plans eventually to do that. But yeah, Mr. Freeze kind of redone and done properly. And you know they'll still give him some puns, because you just have to. Like, you can't not do it. Not one single one. No, you have to. And you know what? I watched something else. I finished Pam and Tommy, which was definitely my guilty pleasure week by week from Hulu or Disney or whatever.
Oh, is that show finally done? Like
it just finished, yeah.
And it's a miniseries. Like, obviously, they're not going to make a second season. I don't think there's any much more story to tell. Now I need to go watch it now that it's done. Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely my guilty pleasure. I started just for fun and then ended up watching an episode of Joe versus Carol, which kind of gives me the same vibes as Pam and Tommy. What's with all the shows based on real people? But yeah, those Pam and Tommy was like definitely my guilty pleasure. I enjoyed just because I grew up fans of both those stars. The best thing I watched this week, I think, was Turning Red. The Pixar?
Yes, let's talk about it. Okay, you're first person I think to talk to that actually saw it. What did you think? I mean, obviously the Toronto connection, you must have loved it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they base it in Toronto in like 2002. And first they call the Rogers Center the actual proper name, the Sky Dome, because that's what it was back then. But yeah, it was good. I mean, Pixar, they don't miss, I guess, except for Cars 3. But Pixar don't miss, right? Or is it Cars 2?
Pixar was able to take a very mature, not I guess like topic, like if you think about it, and kind of turn it into a metaphor in a way. Like if you really think about it, you know, it's kind of like risque what the actual like story is, like what they're basing this transformation on. Think about it: a young girl going through change, puberty. They pretty much took that, but kind of changed into her turning into a giant red panda. But yeah, the movie was fun. A lot of like throwbacks, obviously, in 2002 with the whole like boy band. Like you could tell it was like, you know, NSYNC, Backstreet Boy type of
Four Town
tribute. Four Town, right? It was hilarious. So yeah, actually, I enjoyed that movie a lot, and I actually watched. There was a if you go to Disney Plus, there's like a making of it. I think you probably enjoy it because they kind of show around a lot of parts of Toronto that they kind of were influenced by it. But the woman that directed it, I think, was like born and raised in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, or at least raised in Toronto. So she definitely has like that connection. But yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah, honestly, I loved it. I love all those Disney animated movies, actually. They always are pretty funny. They got the message. I don't have kids, but I know kids fucking love these movies. And like, yeah, they all have kind of the comedy that hits always. But yeah, the Toronto connection for sure. I could see the BDE Tower. I could see us in the thing in 2002. Awesome. Yeah.
You made your Disney Pixar debut.
Yeah, just in a small little window somewhere. But yeah, highly recommended. That was awesome. And it was on Disney Plus, so I didn't have to go like to the theater or anything.
Exactly.
I already had it. So yeah, I've been watching a lot of stuff this week. I know, sir, you're going to be watching some stuff for next week. We'll get to NXT, but here's some plugs, because next week we're doing a Best Match Ever 205 Live. And because, well, John, you watch so much 205 for Shot in the Dark that we're going to have you on. You've curated a list for us that will be up on the Patreon up or later this week. And then we'll watch all these matches, review, rate, and discuss all the best of 205 Live. I know that me and Davey recorded another retro NXT review. This time we're in 2013 with the August 7th edition, featuring Bo Dallas versus Leo Kruger for the NXT title, a dance battle number one contenders match for the NXT women's title. Yeah, I bet you didn't think that happened. Plus the Shield and a bunch more. And then we also are celebrating St. Patrick's Day with a very Irish review of the Leprechaun 2. Yeah, we talked about it last year, the three of us, talking all about Leprechaun, everyone's favorite Irish horror movie. So yeah, me and Dave are going to be tackling part two, which, oh boy, just looking up the reviews and ratings and just genuinely trying to find this movie is hard here in Canada, at least. But yeah, wow. Leprechaun 2. I'm excited. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, luckily, I think when they remade, like, the Leprechaun Return, whatever the last one was, there was, like, a sale at Best Buy that had, like, the entire collection for, like, $15. I just picked it up then and there, so I have the whole Leprechaun collection, unfortunately. Wow. I guess you can say I have it here. I can't see I've watched any of them. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, those are all these podcasts are on the Patreon, patreon.com/upnext. And it's only $5 for North American tier. You get access to all the shows that we have out this month and everything in the back catalog there. So all the movie reviews, pay-per-views, everything back there. So, yeah, go check us out, patreon.com. We are content creators, and we're proudly supported by Patreon. I guess now, John, we can talk about some NXT.
You know, when you asked me to cover NXT, I'm pretty sure I was going to watch NXT, but I tuned into Monday Night Raw. So, not sure what happened tonight.
Yeah, I felt like I tuned into Monday Night Raw, and I'm like, wait a second, did I? I know it was we lost an hour this week, but am I on the right day? What's going on? Do not adjust your sets. It's NXT, but it's Miz TV, NXT Miz NXT TV. Is that what the show title should be? I don't know.
Sure, yeah. Miz TV 2.0.
Wow, good stuff. We start off NXT from Tuesday, March 15th with obviously the graphic for Razor, RIP, the bad guy, but we get The Miz and he's here. Yes. Miz TV on NXT. Is this his NXT debut? It's not, is it?
Well, he was part of the original, like, game show version because he was Daniel Bryan's pro back then. So he was definitely on those episodes. But I don't think he has appeared since they moved to Full Sail. I could be wrong about that. Maybe, like, in a dark match. But I don't think he's actually been on TV since, like, the game show era of NXT. Correct me [S2] Right. [S1] If I'm wrong, somebody in the chat room. But I feel like this is the first time we've definitely seen him, like, on this version of NXT, at least.
Well, never forget that Miz was Daniel Bryan's NXT mentor. Because, yeah. Miz is out here. He hypes up his match with Logan Paul for WrestleMania against the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic. And he's hyping up his friend Dolph Ziggler, who is the new NXT champion. And he brings him out here tonight. And I'm here to show the world. Out comes the NXT champion, Dolph Ziggler. Have we had a week to digest that Dolph Ziggler is actually NXT champion? It's not some like error on a thing you saw online that I'm sure a lot of people went, wait, what? Double take? Dolph is the champion? I'll tell you, him coming out in these like white, almost white cheetah print, white leopard print pants made me go, you look like a champion. And oh, yeah. That's not sarcastic. I thought they were nice pants. But yeah, what do you think of Ziggler as NXT champ?
I mean, it's a little weird. Like, it would have made more sense, I feel like, if Ciampa held on to the belt and then Braun was trying to, like, win the title this whole time. And then Ziggler snuck in and got the title. You know what I mean? Like, before Braun did. But it's kind of weird that, like, they took it off of Braun just for Braun to obviously get it back, I think, at Stand and Deliver. But, yeah, I mean, it gives Braun an experienced veteran to work with, I guess. It might bring some more eyeballs to this show. I was looking at some of the tickets sold and actually selling a lot more than I expected it to sell. Like, on a 12 o'clock on a Saturday before Mania. But I've been to these Manias, and like these fans go to everything. Like, doesn't matter if the show's at 9 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock at night. Like, they will go at these shows. So it shouldn't surprise me that much. But yeah, having Ziggler there, I guess it can only help. I doubt people are going to, like, be turned off by this. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I think I was kind of sour on it last week. Maybe not sour on it. I'm just like, okay, it's not the most exciting thing in the world. But now that we kind of do know that for sure it is going to be Ziggler and Braun in the main match, but now Braun chasing, it's like, okay, you went around it a weird way, but whatever. Ziggler gets a little trophy there that he can always say he was NXT champ. Ziggler comes out with Rude. Rude tells people to get on your feet for the NXT champ. Dolph sits down. Rude sits down. They're chilling with Miz because it's Miz TV. And I love how Dolph is like, hey, Miz, welcome to, you know, my show since I'm the NXT champion. Hey, Miz, look at us. we are NXT, huh? Which definitely got a pop out of me. I think that's a joke me and you actually always say to each other. We are NXT. Whenever we see new talent in 2.0 that we're big fans of, we always go, we are NXT. We are. Remember that hashtag. We are NXT. Dolph says, Braun's not going to make it here. And here's why. And then they show the security footage of, like, I guess earlier in the week where it's Braun going to the PC just looking for Dolph. This was pretty funny. It's like security.
Hold on one second. I gotta put some thought and logic into this. So now they have security footage when all those attacks happened for the past 7 years, whatever, with Hideo, Tommy, and the freaking Creed brothers got attacked.
That's the
last
parking
week.
Lot.
But come on, like, you don't have security cameras, like, where these people got attacked? It's just, I don't know, it's a little weird that all of a sudden they have the security system wants to work. But,
it shows him looking, and he's, like, looking for him, and then a bunch of the trainers and like, employees of the PCs eventually send Braun Breaker home, so he's not going to be here, but he gets in his Dodge Charger and drives off. So, damn, Braun is heated since he got robbed of his title. Miz goes, rookies, am I right? And then they all laugh. They're all laughing basically like how the Miz and would always laughs on like almost like Dr. Evil and Austin Powers, but now with Rude and Ziggler. Dolph says, it took 15 years, but I did it. I'm a fighting champion. I love wrestling and I love making a lot of money, because we all know that we made a lot of money. And then they start talking about their house and their houses, and then they're interrupted by L.A. Knight, who gets a pretty huge pop here for the small crowd of the PC.
I thought it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He got a huge pop when he came out.
Yeah, Stone Cold L.A. Knight. He comes out and he says, let me talk to you. He says, Ziggler, when I said you could come any given Tuesday, make an appearance and fight me on NXT, I didn't expect you to come down and, well, look at you now as NXT champ. And if Braun can't challenge you, well, I'm not going to wait my turn, and I'll challenge you right now. When Ziggler says, sorry, chump, I only fight superstars, and you're not. You're good. Miz says, I agree, you're good, L.A., but you're just not good enough yet. And, L.A. Knight says, well, you know what the people want. And then the crowd, is really behind him, that he, like, prompts them for for him to yell his name. Yeah, and then he says, don't keep talking about it, Ziggler. Show me. And Ziggler says, the world needs ditch diggers too, kid, so I'll show you, and agrees to the match. So the Miz announces it, the main event tonight, LA Knight versus Ziggler for the NXT title. And that was Miz TV.
Yeah, I mean, they sent the Miz there to do his job, which is to be an asshole and to get people to boo him, to get people behind the actual NXT people like Braun and LA Knight, and obviously Ziggler is doing his part as well. So yeah, you know, no harm. I mean, whatever. I'd rather take this than an actual Miz match on NXT, which I wouldn't hold it past them to do one day. But yeah, it was, you know, it made sense with Ziggler there, obviously, like, it's his boy, whatever. So it made sense to have Miz there. So why not? Why not? You know, if it just brings more viewers to NXT, you know, promoting the Miz, then okay, sure. Didn't offend me.
Yeah, it didn't, and I'm not a huge Miz fan, but it didn't definitely. It Miz actually got hype. Miz was like, "Oh, you are a fighting Ziggler, you should fight." So he did kind of play the heel, but still babyfaced it enough to help set up the match later tonight. I think LA Knight is pretty ready for the main roster. I mean, he's got like this crowd behind him, but it feels like people are supporting him, and I definitely think his promo is one of his high points. He gets over with it. Cora Jade is backstage. She's being interviewed. She mentions Raquel Gonzalez is going to be out for a bunch of weeks due to injury, and that Toxic Attraction has hell to pay. And then she says, I should be looking for them, but I think they're going to be looking for me. And kind of reveals that she has all three of Toxic Attraction's championship titles. Damn. So what is she going to do with these things?
Just laying around. I guess they just laid, you know, they just hang them around and backstage. Like that's how they care. How much they care about their titles?
She made it seem like she went and stole them from them somewhere. But yeah, so this is what's going to set up some great segments later on.
Yeah,
we go to our next match. Well, our first match of the evening, which is Cameron Grimes versus Santos Escobar, And, well, Carmelo, Hayes, and Trick Williams join the commentary booth, and they mention that he basically starts booking. I mean, they fired William Regal, so we need a new GM here. So that's pretty much what Hayes is doing. He mentions that this match now, Grimes and Santos, is now a qualifying match for Stand and Deliver. The winner of this match is entered into the ladder match for the title. And there'll be other matches like Solo Sikoa versus Roderick Strong. And later tonight, A-Kid versus Kushida. And then, what, the winner of that goes on to face someone too? And
Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the winner of that faces Grayson Waller, yeah.
He's like setting up some matches here for Stand and Deliver and his title match. But I love how Hayes on commentary, also when he gets to the commentary table, he's like, hey, who here on commentary kept saying I wasn't the A-champ? And Vic and Wade start acting a little scared. And then Wade says, that was Beth. And he's like, oh, was it? Oh, was it Barrett? Okay, well, I'm afraid I got some bad news. You better watch what you say. It was pretty funny back and forth. So the match is Grimes and Santos. These two are going back and forth pretty quick early on when Santos keeps stopping Grimes, including a drop kick in midair, and starts putting the boots to him and starts working the shoulder a little bit. Is it Wade who's like, hey, Carmelo, do you think you could take me to your barbershop? And then Carmelo says, yeah, you could be Wade with the fade. When Wade says, wow, I can't wait to put that on a t-shirt and sell it. And then.
Yeah, Wade called it something else. And then Carmelo's like, no, we don't call it that. We call it a fade. I forgot what he called it. Like some other term that he mentioned. Like, no, we call that a fade here. Yeah.
Was it a British term for hair?
Yeah. I don't know what they call British haircuts, but.
I'll have to ask Davey what a British haircut. So meanwhile, Santos is beating down on Grimes and kind of taunting when again, Hayes on commentary, he was kind of stealing the match for me here with his lines, but he's like, I hate when wrestlers are cocky. Wrestlers need to be humble these days. And then Trick kind of laughs at him like, ha ha. Santos is now on the outside and we get Legado del Fantasma distracting Grimes, which allows Santos to again tack Grimes, works the shoulder, works the arm during picture in picture. When we come back, he's doing arm breakers and kind of slamming the shoulder to the mat. Grimes eventually fires back, hits this Tope Khan off the apron over Legado onto Santos, which was very impressive, and then gets him back in, hits a series of moves, including his crossbody off the top, but then again gets caught in midair into a code breaker, a shoulder breaker, but he comes back with a collision course for a near fall. He sets up for To the Moon, the cave-in, but in midair gets caught on the shoulders, and it's turned into the Phantom Driver. And in an upset, I'd say, Santos Escobar beats Grimes and is going to Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to Carmelo. He's wearing his sick little Scott Hall-style bad guy beanie or toque, as you guys call it in Canada. So that was pretty cool that he was rocking that. Yeah, this is a little surprising. I guess we can talk about the promo that Grimes cut after where he's like kind of like on his down and out, and he's kind of like giving up in a way, I feel like. So I don't know what's the story with him. But yeah, having Santos in this match sounds great. I feel like they should do something with Razor Ramon, the fact that Shawn Michaels is down there, maybe call this like the Scott Hall or Razor Ramon Memorial Ladder Match or something, because obviously that's something that Shawn and Razor were really connected with. Maybe they can do something with that or some sort of, you know, tribute for Scott Hall. But yeah, having Santos in this match is a great idea, obviously. Yeah, the match was great. The match was really good. I'm a little surprised by the ending, though.
I was a little surprised that Grimes didn't win. In fact, I would figure that both these guys would actually deserve the spot in the ladder match. So,
and they might do that. I mean, they haven't announced how many people are in this match, maybe five or six, but maybe they might do something where it's like, you know, the last chance spot or whatever, where everybody that lost gets another shot or something, and maybe Grimes kind of finds his way into this match somehow, some way.
I do think the main roster could be calling for Grimes as well. I think it's time to switch it up for him. Unless they want to pull the trigger and make him like a bigger deal here in 2.0, but I don't think they have plans for that. So yeah, I do think him on the main roster would work. Just don't pair him with like Madcap Moss or whoever else, Happy Man or whatever. Just no, don't do that, because it's like, oh, he's funny, so let's do like no, let him wrestle.
I can picture right now, you know how Brock Lesnar's been rocking all these hats. I can see like Cameron Grimes making his debut like the night after Mania and trying to put his hat on Brock Lesnar. and just getting hit with the F5. Yeah.
Getting
just that visual, Brock wearing the hats. I've been having fun in 2K, just putting random hats on Brock. So why not put Cameron Grimes' hat on him?
Like, yo, like, if it's, they want him to have, like, Cameron Grimes wasn't his original name or his real name. So they already own that name. So there's not gonna, like, it's gonna be a main roster. Unless they just call him Grimes or Cameron. Cause you know they fucking do that these days. It's so stupid.
They also owned Antonio Cesaro and, Alexander Rusev. So hold it past them.
So get ready for Grimes coming soon.
Or Cameron.
Cameron. They already had a Cameron and Naomi.
Not anymore. Oh, put it with Naomi.
Wow. Cameron and Naomi. That would be great. Dream team.
Perfect.
Smash challenge. Yeah, I feel like they should bring him onto the main roster. Have him do his, like, stocks, GameStop stuff. Try to sell people some NFTs. Be a heel. I don't know. Be funny. But Santos wins in a cool spot. The finish was great too, where he runs for the cave-in and gets caught into that like Samoan driver there. That was pretty sweet.
Yep.
Legado celebrates. We get a video for Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray. They talk about how they want to destroy Toxic Attraction. And they mention that Dusty Classic is just the beginning. And they say they both don't really have friends, meaning Io and Kaylee Ray. But that's why we're friends, and we want the gold, and we're going to do anything to get it. So they're going to win this Dusty Classic. But yeah, they don't like you, they don't like each other, but they're friends too, as well. Yeah. Any thoughts? Are they winning this thing? Tournament?
I feel like it. I feel like I can't really see when it was defending Wendy and Dakota, right? I can't see them winning. So yeah, Io and Kaylee make sense, I guess. I mean, it's happening next week. They said, right? Is the finals, which I'm kind of surprised they're not saving it. So maybe they get a title shot at a Stand and Deliver. I'm guessing, just by the timing of everything. So I get that seems like a match that makes more sense. Io and Kaylee Ray versus Toxic Attraction,
which I mean sets up right here where we see Wendy Chu backstage with her partner Dakota Kai. So Dakota is doing her evil twitching, you know, two-character split personality thing. And Wendy Chu is drinking some orange soda. I know this because she says, I love orange soda. So, Dakota's like, great.
Do you know what that's a callback to?
What is it a callback to?
Keenan and Kel. Kel on a...
Right, yes.
I love orange soda. So I'm guessing that's what it was based on. But
I thought it was a nod that, hey, look, I'm stealing Orange Cassidy's... Like,
ooh, I didn't think about that. That's very interesting.
Orange soda, yeah. I love Keenan and Kel. Yeah, I did love Keenan and Kel.
If we see Orange Cassidy sleeping on Dynamite backstage, then obviously they're having a little fun. Back, you know, I feel like they must know each other. Karen Q and Orange Cassidy must have worked a indie show in Albany, New York, at some point. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Sleepy Wendy Chu is chilling when they talk about how their game plan. They're going to beat Io and Kaylee Ray. When Toxic Attraction walk in and they say, "Have you seen our titles?" And then they kind of bash Wendy and Dakota. And then Toxic say, "Okay, girls, let's split up and find these titles. And just make sure if you find Cora Jade, make sure you leave some of her for us to beat up. And let's go." And then they call Wendy and Dakota dumb. And then Wendy ends it by saying, "You know, I don't like those girls. They're hot, but they're weird."
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, I've said that a couple times.
Yeah, shout out Toxic Attraction.
Gigi was giving me some real like Poison Ivy like feels. She had like the green top and like the orange hair. It was kind of like Poison Ivy-ish.
Yeah. So Wendy Chu loves orange soda and Toxic Attraction are splitting up, gang, to find the tag titles that are missing. Wow. Love this show. This felt like it was some... This was weird. It was like in a locker room. It feels like Degrassi or something. It's like, what's going on? We go to our next match, which, again, on paper, kind of sounds like a pretty big deal here because Kushida is going to fight a kid. I'm kidding. Kushida is fighting a kid, but Kushida has different music. It's like he doesn't get his own music. It's just the Jacket Time music now.
Yeah, they've been coming out like to this, like even on their solo matches, they just merged their songs together, I guess. But we didn't get to hear AK's music, so if you want to hear his music, you got to watch NXT UK. no entrance for him.
Both guys get their entrances kind of cut in half here. But Kushida and A-Kid. So A-Kid's from NXT UK. He won some trophy, this year, last year?
Yeah, it's the Heritage Cup. It's basically like their version of like the Pure Championship where they have to like fight like rounds. It's a pretty cool style, actually. It's probably one of my favorite type of matches to watch at NXT. So they go through like 5-round matches and win by like, you know, pure rules and things like that. So it's like an actual cup that he's been holding. I think Noam Dar is the champion of that now, but that was his claim to fame was winning that initial tournament.
Well, so both guys are kind of on the smaller side, but they're both fast and both technical. And they start going back and forth and doing like a lot of evading and countering. But am I crazy? Did Wade Barrett mention that A-Kid was on Real Madrid?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. He mentioned like soccer players that he played with from Real Madrid and this. And I had no idea, honestly, that he was even part, because he's pretty young. I'm pretty sure A-Kid's like really young. So I don't know when he was playing with them. So yeah, that was news to me, but unless he totally made it up.
I don't know much about footy, but they mentioned the dude who headbutted the guy. So I know, like, Zidane, what's his name? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, damn, okay. Actually, both have really similar styles, because actually both are also trained in, like, you know, technical wrestling or some mixed martial arts, if you will, here, because both are doing really fast counters and lots of submission attempts back and forth, which was pretty great. There's a series of chops, again, from both guys. Kushida does a flying armbar trying to get him into that, but A-Kid gets out. There's then Kushida applying the young boy stretch, the Boston Crab, to A-Kid, who's like, hey, welcome to NXT, not UK. But A-Kid comes back. He hits a German on Kushida, which looked great, and then a Northern Light suplex as well for a near fall. Kushida tries to apply some, was it his surfboard, or not the surfboard, but the hoverboard. But eventually, A-Kid jumps, grabs his wrist, and jumps up the ropes with this crazy, like, back flipping into the DDT. Mm-hmm. I remember always giving this to my creator wrestler in all the old video games, the crazy moonsault DDT, what Rey Mysterio used to do, or Eddie, or someone. And A-Kid gets the pin on Kushida. Upset.
It's funny, I've actually been playing the showcase mode in 2K, and like the first match is Rey and Eddie from Halloween Havoc, and you have to like literally do move by move, and this is one of the moves you have to do, was the same like springboard into the DDT, whatever. So that was, I don't know if that was a tribute or what, but that was pretty cool. And this is why A-Kid needs an actual wrestling name, because I tried to Google A-Kid Real Madrid, and it's a bunch of kids just wearing the Real Madrid jerseys, so I can't find any information on it.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Barrett said it. I heard him say it, and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't Google it, but now Dickie in the chat's like, yo, I can't find any reference to this.
Zero references.
This kid playing in Real Madrid. So
yeah, I put A-Kid Real Madrid, and it's a bunch of just like kid soccer teams. Yeah.
Damn. I mean, yeah, wow. Shout out a kid for playing. I don't see it anywhere either, but I'm going to believe Wade Barrett. If they said something that ridiculous, then like it must be like real. You wouldn't make that up, I don't think.
I mean, on AEW Dark, Paul White was saying that Luther from Chaos Project was a NASCAR driver, and he was like swearing by it. And Tony Schiavone was like, there's no freaking hell that Luther is a NASCAR driver. So I don't know what's going on with these comments. I don't know who's giving them these notes, or if they're ribbing them or whatever. I don't know what's going on.
No, he couldn't have been a NASCAR driver.
Check it out on Elevation on Monday, the main event of Chaos Project. And Paul White kept saying, Luther is a NASCAR driver.
Oh, my God.
Tune into Shot in the Dark on Wednesday for the full recap of that.
Wait a second. Was he actually? Because now I'm seeing he was an F1 driver.
Who, Luther?
Yeah. Or is it NASCAR? Maybe. That's weird.
He said some sort of like Formula Race. Maybe it is Formula One, but
damn.
Yeah, maybe he was. Luther. Who would have known?
The Twitch chatter saying, shut up, Sino. No one's watching Dark Elevation.
I could just be making this stuff up every week.
Yeah, you could be making these things up. No one would know. But yeah, shocking kind of upset here, where Kushida just getting jobbed out, dare I say, here on NXT. I'm sorry. Like, hey, this A-Kid is actually very impressive. I have watched some of his stuff in NXT UK. He is pretty sweet. But, you know, poor Kushida. The last time we saw him, he's getting jobbed out with his tag team. And then time goes by, and now we see him here. He's just wasting away. Like, what are you going to do with this guy? Put him on the main roster with Jiro? Like, I just watched New Japan the other day. Mm-hmm. I watched Suzuki versus Takahashi, and they slapped the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, man, like, Kushida, like, what are you doing here? I want to see some bangers while you still can do it. This ain't it. They've definitely wasted a talent here in Kushida. But this match was very short. It was a lot shorter than I would have liked it. I actually kind of think if you gave these two, A-Kid and Kushida, like 20 minutes, they would have had a match that a lot of wrestling fans would be talking about. But yeah, I did like the finish with the DDT, but I think this could have been a bigger spectacle than just a, what, like 5 minute match, even if that, not even.
Yeah. I mean, if A-Kid gets past Grayson Waller, and putting him in that ladder match would be crazy. Just the fact you could have him, Santos, Carmelo, and possibly, like, who else? Roderick Strong could possibly be in that match as well. That would be a crazy ladder match with just those four alone. And real quick, speaking of Suzuki, what do you think about him facing off in Dallas against former NXT champion Killer Cross? That match is official as of tonight.
Yeah, crazy. So New Japan is having Killer Cross, Karrion Kross, but doesn't mean he's like in
no,
New
just,
Japan for real.
No. Right? They usually use people like one time, things like that. But yeah, him, I know Suzuki's doing nice another run over here in the States. A couple pretty good matches. Suzuki's fighting Effie, I think, is one of the matches.
Right.
Suzuki and Killer Cross is another one. Yeah.
Suzuki's going to kill him.
Probably.
Sure.
Kill Cross.
Teach him.
Yeah.
Teach him the way. Maybe Suzuki will control his narrative.
You want to see Suzuki versus Braun?
No. Yeah. No, I want to see Suzuki slap Killer Cross so much that it controls his narrative and realize.
You know, they have that, what was that thing called? The riot room or whatever? Where
the
you
rant
pay $100?
Room?
The rant room? How about you put Suzuki in Austin Aries in that room for 10 minutes?
No, I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch anything with Austin Aries. I'm good.
Yeah, good point.
We go backstage, back to NXT here. We go backstage. Santos is with Legado and Elektra, and he's celebrating. And Santos says, "Of course, I won my match. Of course, I'm going to stand and deliver because now is my time. I am the greatest luchador of all time. I'm the greatest luchador that anyone's ever seen, and it is my time, and I will become North American champion." When Rey Mysterio and Dominic walk into the frame, walk into the room, and Dominic says, "Greatest luchador of all time? Well, he's right here," pointing to his dad. And, well, then they start to kind of get in a little argument here. When Dominic says, "I didn't come here tonight to talk, so if you want to talk, why don't you step up and fight me tonight?" So Santos and Legado, they say, "Well, you've made a big mistake, Dominic." But yeah, Rey Mysterio is in NXT right now. What's going on? First The Miz, we got Ziggler, I mean, all these people are showing up.
Yay, Rey Mysterio must have been like, "Hey, Dominic, I don't know if you know, there's a place that they develop wrestlers that you should have probably went to first. Let's go. Let's go visit."
Yeah, Rey Mysterio is like, "Hey, Dom, I'm finally you have a match, WrestleMania, it's big. You need to come down here for a little while and get ready."
I'm picturing Dominic right now backstage, like, getting his bags, and he's, "Hey, Dad, where are you?" And, like, his dad left. He's like, "No, you're staying there."
Son, it's for your own good.
I'll pick you up in a couple months.
Wow. It's like leaving him. Sorry. I'm just going for a pack of smokes.
I'm okay with this idea. Why not? People have been saying, you know, Dominic should go to NXT for a little bit. Why not? It's not going to hurt him. Have him go down there, have him develop a character, have him grow out his mullet, you know, and maybe he'll come back and feud with his dad when it's all said and done.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. We'll get to Dominic because now, he says he's going to fight. So I don't watch him a whole lot. I did watch him on a pay-per-view, SummerSlam or something? He wrestled on a pay-per-view I watched. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was that great, but on the bright side, if Dominic hangs out here in NXT, that means there's potential he winds up at the barbershop and he can get the mullet removed.
Yeah, so. But there's also a chance that all those ladies backstage, you know, I don't know. Dominic might
have some own illegitimate children, father's, you know?
Maybe that's another reason why Rey dropped them all. Maybe Rey's like, "Listen, you got to move out of the house. You go down there, you meet one of these girls." I heard that, you know, these girls, they like wrestlers. So
Dominic Mysterio. Yeah, wow. Can't wait for his match later. So he's going to take on a member of Legado later tonight. We get the recap of the biggest feud in wrestling, which is Saray versus Tiffany Stratton.
Hey, and I can actually name that blonde girl that pointed at the necklace and was like, oh my god, I've never seen this before. That's Brooklyn Barlow, because she debuted on Level Up this past week, so I actually know who that is now.
Wow, so, okay.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to get anyone to watch NXT Level Up.
Sorry. Here's my pitch for Level Up. It's NXT 2.0, but just no backstage segments, just three matches. That's all
it is. Just wrestling? Okay.
Just wrestling.
It's like Rampage? Is it a half-hour show?
Yeah, usually 30 to 40 minutes, yeah.
Well, we go to the real main event of the evening, which is, yes, Saray versus Tiffany Stratton. So Stratton was jealous that all the girls backstage were in love with Saray's pendant or her jewel, her heirloom, her family thing, and attacked her and says, "No one says no to me." Very Green Goblin-esque of Tiffany Stratton. And they're going to have a fight here tonight. And we see Saray. She's backstage in her kind of what her normal attire with the glasses. And she's holding her amulet, her pendant. And she's going to walk through the tunnel. But before she does, she is attacked backstage by Tiffany, who beats her up. They fight through the tunnel into the ring, and eventually Saray is like, okay, I guess I can fight. And then the match technically starts, but Tiffany puts the boots to her, hits the handspring splash in the corner, and then the corkscrew Vader bomb. Tiffany Stratton wins just like that. Uncut gems.
Yeah. First of all, I knew something was up because they've been using the same exact entrance video whenever Saray goes through the portal, and it was different. I'm like, oh, that's weird, why would they film it again? And then that's why, because it was an attack thing. But I have to admit, Tiffany Stratton is one of the smartest wrestlers. Tiffany Stratton could have stopped the Undertaker's winning streak by stealing the urn before the match. Like, she knows like the power of these wrestlers. Like, she's actually pretty smart.
She's like, huh, yeah. Every time she walks through the tunnel, she gets the power, so maybe I won't let her do that and see if I can beat her. Wow. She's kayfabe wise one of the smartest wrestlers so far we've seen.
She's pretty smart. But yeah, obviously I think we're going to get this rematch, maybe at Stand and Deliver, where she actually, like, you know, transforms and gets her win back. But I think, you know, I mean, she didn't look that good, Tiffany, but I think she looked good coming out of it. The fact that she was able to just squash Saray and get this dominant win, I guess you can say.
I mean, yeah, you got to run it back. I was expecting a banger. I think there is one out of these two, but it's like the demon, right? Like, if Saray has her powers, she's unbeatable, but here she's just the schoolgirl Saray who gets beat up. I don't know.
Hey, you have your mixed match challenge. We have Cameron and Naomi. They can go against Saray and Finn Balor, and they can both just transform through the portal together.
This is true. But yeah, Tiffany Stratton with the W here tonight for Daddy. I love Tiffany Stratton's terrible music. It's so terrible, but so good. We go to Gunther backstage. That's right, Gunther. He's with LA Knight. They're arguing here, and he's kind of mad that LA Knight's the one who got the challenge. And LA says, "What? You don't have the balls." Gunther says, "You're dishonoring the sport. You use your mouth instead of your body, and I don't like this." And LA Knight says, "You don't have the balls like I have," and says, "You don't have the charisma like I have. So we will." We'll see. It's basically like, hey, if I win tonight, you know, I'll give you a shot kind of deal, which sounds kind of interesting as well. LA Knight and Gunther. When we see Ciampa is getting ready to come to the ring for a promo, but a nice little exchange between Gunther and LA Knight.
Yeah, I mean, the way they set up, I was like thinking, okay, are they going to put the title on Knight and then he drops it to Gunther? Because they're obviously setting up a match between these two. But no, we might see it on Stand and Deliver. We might just see it on a regular episode of NXT. But I can see that possibly being LA Knight's, like, official write-off is to lose to Gunther.
Yeah. Well, we come back from a commercial break. We get JC Jane walking around backstage by herself because the gang, Toxic Attraction, has split up. And she's looking around for clues when she sees one of her titles, the tag team title, is hanging just off to the side backstage somewhere. So she goes to grab it. When she does and pulls down on it, a cage out of nowhere of two gates, like, lock her in. this cage, I guess, as Cora Jade then padlocks it, throws the key away, and taunts her and says, "I got you," and then says, "One down, two to go." And
you ever play the board game Mousetrap? That's pretty much what this was.
No, this was Scooby-Doo.
Honestly, I have a theory. I feel like Cora Jade was going through Twitter one day and was like, "Oh, John Cena is cast in this new Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner movie." And she obviously is too young to even know what that is. So she YouTubed a couple of Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoons and was like, "Oh, look at all these fancy traps that the Roadrunner is doing to Wile E. Coyote. I'm gonna copy a couple of them," because that's exactly what she did tonight. It was some Acme Looney Tunes Roadrunner traps that she was setting up, which is so dumb.
It was Home Alone. This is what this was. But Home Alone. It felt like Scooby-Doo. Like, she's creeping around looking for the titles, and then, oh, got caught. We got her. And then Cora's like, "Yeah, what? I got you. Punk rock. Yeah." Wow. Just funny. There's more of them, so don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We go to Tommaso Ciampa. His music hits. It doesn't hit quite like No One Will Survive, but it's all right. Ciampa comes down when he's on the ramp and then starts to do the Razor Ramon Scott Hall strut that we all do all the time and will continue to do. And he has the mic. Ciampa says, "I always wanted to be the guy when it came to pro wrestling, and I always felt like I needed a home, and I found that. And I needed to be given an opportunity to run with the ball, and that opportunity came under NXT, WWE, the largest company on the planet, and that's just gratitude." And he says, "But success doesn't come easy. I've been here since 2015, whether it's DIY, Glorious Bombs, the tag titles, Blackheart, or just being the best NXT champ ever, whether you cheer me or boo me," and then people start to boo him. And then he laughs and recalls the time in New Orleans when he walked out to just the sea of boos. And then he says that he needs a fairy tale ending. So what perfect way when the crowd chants "one more match"? And he says, "Thank you." As Tony D'Angelo shows up in the ring, no music, nothing, just standing there with a crowbar as he just throws it away. And he says, "Look, Ciampa, I respect you man to man, face to face. So I didn't want to do this, but I was thinking, who do I got to beat to put Tony in the history books? Who can I be? Who can the man be?" Basically says, "To be the man, I got to beat the man. So it would be an honor for the family to throw hands with you at Stand and Deliver." And then he offers the handshake. Ciampa accepts it. They handshake. And Tony knees him in the balls. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. So Stand and Deliver, it's official. Tommaso Ciampa, Tony D'Angelo. It's not delivery, it's D'Angelo. Is what he fucking should have said. That would have been damn. But yeah, he's got to say that before the pay-per-view. But yeah.
Stand and Deliver my pizza, right? I got excited. I saw two Italians in there. You got the Sicilian psychopath. You got Tony D'Angelo. I thought maybe there was some common bond between them too. I thought they're going to get together. I didn't know what this Ciampa thing was, because there were like rumors have been swirling all day, and it's like I didn't see anything at all about the Ciampa like speech. I didn't know what they were talking about, so I had no idea where this was going. I'm like, is he getting called up to the main roster? Is he retiring? Like, I didn't know what was going on here. Is he going to AEW? Like, I don't know what was happening tonight. And then it didn't really hit me until Tony came into the ring. Like, oh yeah, he has been hyping up the last couple weeks about trying to find the perfect opponent or whatever. So yeah, this match should be fun. But I mean, by the looks of it, this has to be Ciampa's final match, right? So
I guess so. And then he's finally is on the main roster, and he can wrestle Butch and whoever else.
He can have Butch versus Chump, whatever they call him.
Wow. Ciampa. Tommy. Just Ciampa.
Tommy Ciampa.
Tommy Ciampa. So yeah, Ciampa versus D'Angelo. I like the promo. I think Ciampa's a great talker. It's basically him kind of giving his whole story. It's definitely a retirement thing. And then D'Angelo kind of stopping that, but I think the match could be pretty good too. It is a like prove it moment for D'Angelo.
I was gonna say this is a big moment for D'Angelo, because he's been one of the guys who hasn't like been like on front of Raw like a Bron Breakker has or LA Knight. Like, he hasn't been in front of a big crowd, so this is gonna be the biggest crowd he's been in front of, and he's fighting somebody like Ciampa. Obviously I wouldn't trust anybody else in the ring but Ciampa, but yeah, this is a really big test for him. obviously if he gets the win here. It's funny because, like, wasn't he kind of, I mean, he didn't write off Pete Dunne, but he was, like, one of Pete Dunne's, like, final feuds as well. So he's, like, him and Von Wagner are, like, slowly eliminating everybody from the black and gold era. I feel like they're, like, the 2.0 gatekeepers.
We didn't get Von Wagner this week.
No.
It wasn't Tuesday.
But I hate to keep bringing up Level Up and Shot in the Dark, but that girl that was in the audience with Von Wagner, there is some development with her. But that you will have to tune in. I will not give that for free.
Wow. Interesting. Development on the girl standing in the crowd watching Vaughn. I mean, it's Vaughn's world and we're just living in it. Oh, wait. Or is it Wardlow's world and we're just... never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's world.
We go to our next match. It is the Battle of Australia. Persia Parada versus Indy Hartwell. Best friends... going to settle some scores in the ring. I don't think I've ever seen, at least in NXT, a tag team come out at the same time to face. So their music hits, they come out, and then the match is about to start.
I feel like it must have happened. I feel like there's something like NWO would do or DX. Like, didn't Shawn and Hunter probably come out together when they fought at one time? Like, it must have happened before, but definitely not at NXT.
I definitely feel like it's happened before, but it's just, it's weird because and it's funny. But as the bell starts, it's almost like something changes where Persia starts throwing Indy around and starts like trash talking her own friend. She grabs Indy's wedding ring and tries to pull it off her and then starts stomping on the hand of Indy and starts saying like, oh, your husband's not replying to you. He doesn't want to talk to you. Dex doesn't want you. And commentary are like, yeah, that's not very friendly considering they're friends. Indy fires back, though, gets upset, hits a running bulldog out the corner. When Duke Hudson shows up, he's ringside there. But Dexter appears from under the ring and scares him, which causes a whole distraction. Indy gets a roll up and pins Persia. After the match, Duke is in the ring with Persia and they make out, they kiss. So then Indy and Dex kiss, and then Persia and Duke make out even more. So then Indy and Dex make out even more. It's a smooch off, and then they both drop to the floor, and both couples are making out simultaneously as we go to our break here. But yeah, NXT is definitely horny. It's definitely – it was 9:20 when this was happening. I was like, damn, like they really go hard after that 9 p.m. hits, but wow, just people making out here in a great segment.
I don't know what was happening here. They were like trying to like out make each other out, and I don't know if they're gonna like start switching partners. I don't know what was going on with this. Is this gonna lead to a tag team match? I mean, it has to, right? We're gonna get a mixed match.
Yeah, it has to be couple v couple of NXT at Stand and Deliver, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It has to. Yeah. So the friends now with their hubbies and something's got to happen. Like is it all a ploy and Indy eventually leaves Dex and Duke has both of them?
I feel like Duke is going to be caught cheating backstage.
Ooh.
Wait. I don't know with who.
I like that idea. Yeah. That's better than Dex.
He's going to be caught with somebody. I'm trying to think of who somebody who like would be like Tiffany Stratton or somebody. I don't know. Right, like, he's definitely going to be caught with somebody backstage. And that's when, Persia is going to come to her senses.
I hope, I'm trying to think of
is this the match where Wade was like Duke Hudson is Pete Davidson, right? And Dexter Lumis is Kanye. I was like,
yeah, he says Dexter is Kanye and Duke is Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh man. Great stuff. We go to Gigi. Well, I mean, hey, did you think of anything? That match was pretty nothing.
I'll be honest with you. I was kind of checked out of that match. I knew it was going to be like some stupid finish. Like it was I wasn't barely paying attention to that. I'm just like, yeah, this is just like the start of whatever the real match is going to be. I feel like
we go to Gigi Dolin backstage. Now she's like, I think outside somewhere looking for her title again, very Scooby-Doo-esque. She sees that her title is on top of a dumpster. She doesn't just walk to the side and grab it, which was definitely 100% in reach. Instead, she gets into the dumpster to grab the title, realizing she's in a dumpster and realizes it's garbage and it's gross. When a forklift behind the dumpster, the lights turn on and it raises and closes the top of the dumpster on top of her, like basically Ninja Turtles finish at the end there when they crush Shredder in the dumpster in the back of the thing. Whoops. Oops. No, she looks safe. She basically traps her in this dumpster and she's trying to get out and kicking and yelling. And Cora Jade is there with the forklift and says, "Oh, I didn't know trash could talk." And then says, "One to go," and then walks off. Oh my God. I don't know what I was watching.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Gigi Dolan's Instagram. It's a lot better than she's looking tonight. I'm just waiting for the Cora Jade toy set with all these different booby traps at this point. Like, you know, give it to me.
Booby traps. That's what I said. Said booby traps.
Yeah, booby traps. Yeah, that's what they were. Should be the name of the show. That should be the name of the show. Booby traps. There's a lot of booby traps on this show. a lot of different traps. A lot of traps.
Yeah, you win, good sir. We go to a match I can't believe is actually happening. We went from booby traps to Santos. No, it's not Santos. It's
fuck. I wish we got Santos and Rey Mysterio. No, it was Dominic Mysterio against Raul Mendoza. But I want Santos and Rey. I feel like they teased it, right? We're gonna have to get that match eventually.
We're gonna have to with the Rey Mysterio Halloween Havoc gear from Santos as well.
Oof.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. It's up next. Enhancement talent. Three years in a row, Raul Mendoza going up against Dominic Mysterio. So, yeah, Rey Mysterio. Yo, what's going on with Dominic's music? He doesn't use Rey's music?
No, ever since he debuted, he's had, like, his own version of it, I guess. Like, remix version. He's always had his own theme. Yeah, it's like a knockoff of the Rey song, I guess.
I was a big fan of Rey Mysterio's original music, like... Who's that jumping out the sky? Yes. R-E-Y. And then I do like Booyaka Booyaka 619, but damn. Yeah, this music was soft. So it's Raul versus Dominic, and it's all about the best luchador stuff. And that's what Dominic is doing. He hits a pretty good-looking sunset flip, doing a bunch of rope flips and arm drags. He was looking pretty good, to be honest, and then hits a pretty cool-looking cross body. He eventually goes for this running Rana, which that was a little messed up, where definitely Raul just does the jump way after the fact. Dominic, however, gets distracted by Carmen Electra Lopez up on the apron. I'm going to call her that. Which Don was like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. When Fallon, the bartender, shows up, that's right, with Briggs and Jensen to distract the rest of Legado and Elektra, which allows Dom to drop Raul into the ropes. He's dialing it up and hits the 619, followed up by the frog splash, and Dominic wins the match here in NXT. Wow, Dominic Mysterio in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty good. Like, as much as I would like to see Dominic stay here, I have a feeling that Legado might get called up after Mania, and maybe they can then do the Santos-Rey Mysterio match, because I can't see Rey coming back to NXT, at least not, like, on a permanent, you know, not, like, on a recurring basis. So I can actually see Legado, I feel like they've been in NXT for too long, and might not even fit. But as them four together on, like, the main roster, I think it'd actually be a pretty cool stable, and have a feud with Rey and Dominic right off the gate.
Yeah, they were wearing their Latino World Order, like the Legado, the NWO style shirt as well. But wouldn't it be crazy if they have their stable and then they convince Dominic to turn on Rey? Like, you're not the greatest luchador. I am. That would be it. That would. Rey Mysterio recently in an interview said that he doesn't want to have that match because he doesn't want to be like, he doesn't turn heel or anything like that. But I think it would be Dominic that would be the bad guy.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, he's already growing the mullet, have him grow like the mustache. Yeah. He can do
it. Yeah. Just, hey, if he's down there and working and getting better in the ring, I thought this was the best he's looked in quite a while, at least from what I've seen of Dominic. But, Yeah. Well, I wish Rey Mysterio fought. Like, sorry. Let's just think outside the box here. Dream match for me is Rey Mysterio versus Io Shirai. Just sorry that just both doing 619s and crazy shit. That's just something I want to see. And There's no good reason why we are not getting that match. But anyway,
yeah, you're gonna have to wait till Joey Janela Spring Break 2025 probably like for that one.
Yeah. Down the line, yeah. Who would you pit Rey Mysterio against? It's obviously Santos, but I mean, back in the gold days of NXT, like your Garganos or any of these high flyers against Rey Mysterio would be pretty interesting as well. But Rey Mysterio didn't wrestle tonight. But maybe one day on NXT, he will.
I honestly would love to see Rey Mysterio versus Gunter. Just to
see
those two.
Yeah, right? There you go.
That'd be like a crazy match right there. Just see like Rey bump around and what he could do and just kind of work off of Gunter. But yeah, Rey versus Carmelo, Rey versus Dragunov, A-Kid, all these guys. Like, I feel like he'd have some great matches down. Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Leave Rey in NXT. Dominic is down.
Both of them. Yeah, bring him down here. Bring him down here. Let's do it. Creed Bros versus Rey and Dominic. MSK, okay, these guys, yeah, crazy shit. We go to this is when they had the Scott Hall tribute video, which I thought was fantastic. I'm sure you guys have already seen it, but yeah, absolutely loved it. And yeah, that's when we go back to Cora Jade. She's in the parking lot and she's got a can of spray paint that's randomly duct taped up for some reason. She then sees Mandy Rose's car, so she goes over it. She goes into the car, it's just unlocked, and sees the NXT women's titles there. And she gets in the front seat when Mandy shows up behind her and says, "Oh, you thought wrong, you thought you could trick me," and starts to beat up Cora Jade when the rest of Toxic Attraction show up and they beat her up too. But Cora was kind of like, this is the championship is what I want. And Mandy says, well, it's my title, and then beats her up and then says, game over, bitch. And then takes the spray paint and spray paints on Cora. Definitely like, NWO, Scott Hall, shout out.
For sure.
But something I noticed was it's Cora Jade spray paint and it's white spray paint. And Mandy Rose was driving a white SUV. So you're telling me you were going to spray paint the white car with white spray paint? Okay.
That's, she didn't think that through, did she? Maybe she didn't know what color her car was going into it.
Or she didn't know the spray paint because it was covered in duct tape for some
reason. That's true. That so she didn't know. Do it. Yeah, she didn't do any of her research, obviously.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, she's not a real skater. Skaters know their spray paints. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Graffiti artists. Yeah.
Yeah.
This sets up now, which they do it later, announce Cora Jade versus Mandy at Stand and Deliver. But yeah, I didn't really like these Looney Tunes cartoony things with Cora Jade trapping Toxic Attraction. Like, it was just so lame. So cheesy.
They're trying to make Cora like seem like a tough girl. Like, I don't know what they're doing with her. Like, what was the point of this? Like,
have her wrestle each one of them, like, I guess they don't want to damage the tag champs, but like, have her beat them.
Maybe Raquel is straight up injured and they had to like come up with another plan for tonight. I don't know, but yeah, it was a little weird.
It was pretty goofy. Like, hey, I think Cora and Mandy is the match and it sounds pretty good, but like, yeah, weird way to go about it. We go to the Creed Brothers. They're in the ring, Diamond Mine, and Malcolm Bivens says, "We want to know who jumped us." Well, actually, it's the Creed Brothers. They're really upset about the attack last week, so they're screaming, and they're saying, "Who jumped us? We got all the time in the world, so we ask who? Who had the balls to do that? Come out here, you cowards." When MSK's music hits, oh no, and MSK are rocking classic NWO shirts, and they say, "Hey, yo, we didn't attack you. But, you know, we took your spot and you crashed the party. So therefore, we deserve a shot, too." When the crowd chants bullshit at MSK, they're clearly on the Creed side here. When Imperium on the perch interrupt and say, "You guys will obtain these titles. These are ours. You need skills like us." Malcolm says, "Come down here." And then MSK kind of step in and say, "We want the match." So Imperium say, "Well, why don't we have a triple threat at Stand and Deliver?" And, well, that's official now. The three teams will face at Stand and Deliver. But, yeah,
do you think MSK... A lot of boos for MSK, right? Back to the booing section, I feel like. They were getting some cheers, and now all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Back to the boos.
Back to the... like me, every time I watch NXT 2.0.
Back to the booze.
Back to the booze. Yeah, I think it needs to be them. I think I was waiting for the reveal, but I don't know. Maybe they'll stretch it.
I don't know, because I thought that, but then we see a segment backstage where Malcolm Bivens is still trying to like figure out who it is. So
more Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, like I don't. Is it like some team that we don't know or we forgot about? Like who hasn't been seen in a while? Like I'm trying to think. Is there like a mystery team or something, or a team that's been on the shelf, or is it like Gorillas of Destiny? Like who is it at this point? Like is it some new team that we don't know about?
Well, I mean, the match itself is now actually the triple threat, so it would make sense if MSK are like, yeah, we did it so we could win, like, whatever.
Right.
But then, the match sounds great.
But then they continue the whole, like, searching thing backstage after, which confused me. Like, they're obviously still trying to, I don't know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, very strange.
But the match sounds amazing. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. This is a match that I think we all predicted was going to happen, so yeah, it should be a banger for sure.
It kind of sounds like that Revolution three-way tag match, right? Like the three teams, similar. Different styles and stuff like that. But yeah, sounds great. We have Cameron Grimes backstage. He's very sad. He says that he made it here and he was ready to go on the road again for Stand and Deliver, but instead he'll be at home sitting on his couch. He wants to Stand and Deliver, but he won't. And he told his father that when he signed to NXT, he'll be a champion. But I just keep disappointing. And then Grimes walks off, all sad. Sad face Grimes. What's going to happen? Yeah. Do you think he gets added to this ladder match?
Yeah, I mean, this is legit. I remember him hearing about this, that like right before his dad passed away, the last thing he said to him was that he was signing to NXT. So for them to take like a real-life storyline like this, a real-life, you know, situation, makes me feel like there's hopefully some actual like storyline reasoning for this. Like I feel like he's gonna make his way into the match somehow, but the fact that he mentioned like the main championship, like he's been North American champion before, so it's not like the end of the world, but I feel like the fact that he mentioned like being like actual NXT champion could, you know, mean something else. But I don't know, with this current landscape, I can't see him being champ. I feel like that time has passed to have Cameron Grimes as the NXT champion.
Was he wasn't North American champion before.
He was the million.
He says he never had he never had gold yet, but he never was a champion yet. But he was the $1 million champion.
Right, that's probably what I was thinking of that. Okay.
I think the story should be somehow he does get added into this match, and I would book it where he wins, because Carmelo Hayes says he's the A champion, but I think he should drop it, and then by WrestleMania we get Hayes. Kind of switching into the other title picture or main roster, but yeah, I think it would make sense. But I think Grimes needs to be added into this match. I don't know how we're going around it, but it should be him. We go to Malcolm Bivens backstage. He's questioning all the other tag teams, meaning Idris and Malik and GYV. And he's like, did you guys attack him? And Malik and Idris are like, no, we were busy like pretty much getting way too close with Mandy Rose. Like they were.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, we didn't attack them. We attacked the waiters instead.
GYV says no. These creepy little simps didn't attack them, and neither did we. Like buzz off, essentially. So both these teams are like, we didn't do it. So Malcolm Bivens is on the case still, but we won't find out until.
Well, the
week.
Interesting thing that the Creed brothers kept saying was they're like, oh yeah, we heard accents. That's why they kept like pointing to Grizzled Young Veterans. So they didn't mention that they kept hearing accents. So maybe it was Imperium then.
Is Imperium?
They heard accents. Yeah, it had to be, right? They kept saying that.
The person who attacked me had accents. That sounds like such a cop-out of, I don't know what they looked like, but they had an accent.
I mean, it could be anybody from NXT UK, right? It could be Mustache Mountain. Like, who knows? It could be anybody at this point, yeah.
Well, then we go to our main event of the evening, NXT title on the line, and we go to LA Knight challenging Dolph Ziggler, as someone's doing fireworks literally outside my house right now.
Oh, they're celebrating the main event.
I don't know what it is to celebrate. They're celebrating Dolph Ziggler's NXT champ. It's a Tuesday night. What's on March 15th?
Well, they're 9 minutes early from celebrating Austin 316 Day, so maybe that's what they're doing preemptively.
Oh, true. Right, of course. Yeah. Shout out the people doing fireworks just outside my building. Well, Dolph Ziggler, NXT champion, putting the title on the line in the main event against LA Knight. Yeah. We get LA Knight coming out. He's got some attack on Dolph here, running shoulder tackles, knocking the champion down. Hits a huge power slam before we go to picture in picture. And during that, the tides turn as Ziggler takes advantage because, of course, Bobby Roode was distracting him there. Ziggler's hitting some cross faces as we come back. He's working the neck and the face of LA Knight and then tries to put him in a sleeper hold, one of his finishing moves. But LA Knight gets out of it and then counters with a huge tilt-a-whirl power slam for a near fall. Ziggler and him are fighting up top. LA Knight gets pushed off but then jumps up like a cat. He's like Kurt Angle here. And hits a superplex for a two count. The camera shows Bron Breakker is showing up in his car nearby outside. This distracts Ziggler. He gets caught into the burning hammer from LA Knight, but it's only a two count because Bobby puts the foot on the rope for his buddy Dolph here. When they're both standing again, more distraction from Bobby Roode allows Dolph Ziggler to hit a super kick on LA Knight and puts him to bed. 1, 2, 3. So Ziggler retains the NXT championship. And then right after the match, out comes Bron Breakker, who comes down and says, "I want my rematch." And that's when Bobby Roode tries to get involved, but he just gets decked by Bron. So, yeah, Ziggler then kind of has to accept, like, all right, you want your rematch? Well, that's going to happen. Stand and deliver. It is now official. Ziggler versus Bron Breakker for the title. But what'd you think of LA Knight and Ziggler?
Yeah, I mean, the match was fine. You know, nothing really amazing. I mean, this whole show was fine. It all felt like a setup for Stand and Deliver. We didn't have any real matches officially till tonight, so none of the matches really stood out. This match was okay. You know, LA Knight is someone who's been around for a while, and obviously Dolph Ziggler, so it was, you know, your basic match. It was all, like, to build to the whole Bron Breakker thing, obviously. And I'm pretty sure the same car that Bron is driving is the same one that, like, Karrion Kross had, and the same one that, like, LA, like, I feel like they're all driving the same black Charger. Has been in, like, NXT for the past, like, 3 years. But yeah, this is all to set up the final. I didn't expect the match to be, like, made, like, that easy, like, where Ziggler's just like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I feel like Ziggler should have maybe, like, I don't know,
did something Cowered with out. It. Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, attacked Bron or something. Like, I feel like something should have happened to actually make that match official.
Well, he's got a few weeks. He'll beat up Bron or get Roode versus Bron or
yeah
whatever.
And Bron could chase him down on a Raw or something. Yeah. There's still a couple weeks.
You know what? I wasn't super down on the show. It had like some. It's good when they have something to build towards, and this is finally a show that's not going to be in this performance center. So it will be nice to see them on the road and somewhere else. So I am trying to get into a better mindset, but for me, hearing that they're putting Miz TV on NXT definitely made me go, like, not interested. But I actually thought they did a good job of setting up and kind of letting everybody know what kind of is happening and promoting matches and so forth. But
who would have thought that Dominic would have probably the best match? I mean, Kushida and AK was good. I just feel like it could have had a little bit more time.
Maybe
Dominic,
Grimes and Santos. Yeah, maybe
yeah,
that was the match.
Grimes and Santos was good. I feel like the problem with NXT is like these matches are good, but I feel like they're just not getting enough time to the point where it's like they're great, you know? But I think just Dominic just overall just impressed me the most because he hasn't really looked this good on Raw. So maybe he needs to stay here. Maybe he needs to, you know, get some more NXT shine.
Yeah, but that would be all right. I didn't necessarily hate anything. Maybe except those like Looney Tunes
stuff.
Yeah, that stuff was pretty weak. I thought, but the pay-per-view, or sorry, premium live event is shaping up to look pretty good. We got the 5-way ladder match. We got Ciampa versus D'Angelo, Mandy versus Cora, Imperium, Creed Bros, and MSK, and Ziggler versus Braun. So I mean. That's all right. That's not
like that right there is like I mean, maybe add like one or two more matches for like a kickoff or whatever.
Yes.
Maybe add like that Persia and Duke versus Indy and Dexter, and maybe like another match, Saray and Tiffany, and there we go. That could be the full card right there.
No Kushida, sadly. I guess.
No, unfortunately, we have to watch that on Level Up.
And I mean, Solo Sikoa is going to face Roderick Strong, so the winner of that. So, I mean, you would want it to be Solo because they've been pushing him, but Roddy, it's Roddy though, right? It's Roddy.
I know. I feel like Roddy in a ladder match, like, I feel like that's like spells out WrestleMania weekend right there. Like, you just have a guy like that in that match, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was NXT. Yeah, I sounded like I didn't actually hate it, but trust me, there was still, we didn't get enough Briggs and Jensen. We still saw them. Who knew Briggs and Jensen were featured in the same segment as Rey Mysterio? NXT, yeah. only in NXT. It only happens.
That's a picture that needs to be framed for the BDE. Like Rey, Dominic, Fallon, Briggs and Jensen, just all five of them just celebrating.
That's right. It totally does. It needs to be framed. I wonder. I put up a feedback thread in the Facebook, but I put it up a little late, so I do see two comments here. So I'll read them quickly. One's from Sean, sure, who writes in quotations, "Saray not able to fully transform." End quotation. That was a sentence spoken on tonight's episode. Let that sink in. Yeah, that one had me howling when they said, like, oh, but she can't transform. Oh, my God. Yeah, we get it. And then the second and last one from Corey here, who says, man, I'm going to say it. If Saray doesn't come out and beat the ever-living hell out of Tiffany and decisively wins the feud, I think she's pretty much done in WWE and will be the next round of budget cuts. They are doing Saray real dirty right now, and she's been treated incredibly poorly since the changeover to 2.0. I mean, at least she's got a character and winning.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, before she literally had no character. She was just a Joshi wrestler. Now at least, like, yeah, it's stupid, but is it going to get her on Stand and Deliver? Maybe. You know, I couldn't say that before.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. What about you? You've been you like NXT as much. What have you been enjoying, since you're probably the person I know who watches literally the most wrestling? Just you watch all the other shows.
I mean,
what do you watch that genuinely you do still enjoy?
The only show that I actually watch live is Dynamite, and that has its good and its bad, because I do the report for Pulse Wrestling, so it's like this last episode, there was so much going on, I can't pause the show either, which sucks the way I watch it. So, like, that's a great show, but, like, there's so much happening. But everything else, like Raw and NXT, I don't watch live. This is probably the first week that I watch both of them back-to-back live because of the Cody possibility on Raw, then obviously for tonight for 2.0. But honestly, the shows I've been enjoying the most have been New Japan Strong. This past week, we had Jay White versus Swerve, so that match was a banger.
Oh, nice.
NXT UK has been pretty good. I mean, every week they have a pretty good match on that show, so those are my two top shows, honestly. But yeah, you know, those are probably, like, the only shows I really, like, religiously, like, enjoy every week. I mean, Dynamite I enjoy as well. And I will not be watching Control Your Narrative as much as Nikki Bird and everybody else has been campaigning. Funny story, so I was talking to John Pollock about, like, I'm taking off, like, the whole WrestleMania weekend, like, those 4 days. I'm taking it all off to do, like, reports. Like, between me and John Pine, we're doing, like, 25 reports. It's ridiculous. So he sends me, like, a list of all the things to, you know, to do. And then a little, like, asterisk next to, like, Control Your Narrative. He's like, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And I'm just like, nah, I'm okay.
You do.
Yeah.
Why won't you?
Luckily for me, it's not airing anywhere. And I don't know what this TV deal that they supposedly have is. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to watch Control Your Narrative. I'm sorry. I don't care if the main event is Suzuki versus EC3. I don't want to watch it. I've covered those shows in the past, and they're not good.
I love how
just the people involved. Ugh,
yeah. I love how Braun Strowman to promote it has been like, you won't see any, like, choreographed dancing or acrobatics. It's like, bro, you won't be seeing jack shit at these shows. I'm sorry. They look laughable from what's been released.
And that was, like, a dig at GCW, because that was the only show that they're going against, like, that day was GCW. So somebody, I think it was Tony Deppen, was like, yo, dude, what are you talking about?
That's not the way. Yeah, that's not the way to get, like, your company is showing, like, not, there's no disrespect to any of the people involved, but it's like, you're promoting a company that is saying, like, hey, we're the outcasts, the assholes, like, that's what we are. It's like, no, like, nah, like, it's not like, it's not working. It looks bad. It looks genuinely bad. And I'm sad now that you're not going to review it for us and let us know what happens. But I don't think no one cares, though. No one actually
cares. You know what Control Your Narrative sounds like to me? It sounds like a group that wears t-shirts that don't get permission from their families to wear.
Yeah, probably. They probably would. They probably would, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, people need to go outside, bro. Here I am talking about NXT, but fuck.
Yeah.
It's been a wild week. It's been a wild fucking week. Shout out Post Wrestling. Post Wrestling forever.
Shout out Post Wrestling. Shout out Neil Flanagan.
Shout out Neil Flanagan. If you followed any of the controversy, that's as far as what I'm calling it, but wow.
Yeah. Buy the new Four Pillars shirt on the Post Wrestling shirt right now. All proceedings go to charity up until March 31st, so make sure you get your shirt. A lot of people already got their shirt, so get your brand new Four Pillars long and winding Royal Road t-shirt at a Pulse Wrestling store.
No, honestly, shout out WH Park. The streets need it. The streets need WH Park in Kingston on a podcast. But yeah, honestly, John Way, all of Post Wrestling, that's some king shit, man. I am so proud to be a part and just being even in the same family as John Way. Those guys do some crazy stuff. So yeah, if you've seen some of the ridiculousness on social media this week, very, very silly. But no one is more professional than John Way. So hats off and to it. But shout out everyone at Post Wrestling. Support, buy the shirt, go buy a Post shirt, go buy an Up Next shirt. We're all fam. We can't say thanks for all the people who support Post Wrestling and Up Next and everyone. So yeah, it feels good to have people like defending Post Wrestling and being in a family and stuff. It feels good.
I've never been more proud of Twitter after this past weekend of the amount of support.
I usually hate when people do digging on people. I'm like, man, just go outside, like live your own life. If they did some bad stuff, cool, we'll find it out. But don't, you know, but now it's like, oh, someone else did it, and now I understand. Sean, thank you, Mr. See No Evil, for joining me tonight, filling in for Mr. Davey Portman, who will be back tomorrow night. We'll be doing BD Elite, chatting all about some Dynamite. But other than Shot in the Dark, anything else you want to plug, feel free. Follow your Twitter.
Yeah, I've actually on a couple, I guess, non-wrestling-related podcasts that I've been on or will be on in the next week or so. Right now, I'm actually on the podcast, DA Podcast, with Steve Fingerstyles. And another guest that I just found out, like, more information by doing the show, his name is Rated R. He's a rapper from New York who actually does the theme song for Top Flight, as well as some music from the Who We Are soundtrack for AEW, which I was like, holy crap, this is great. So the whole podcast is us talking about like hip hop and video games, and just, it was a great show with me, Steve, and Rated R. So check that out. That's on the podcast. You can find that. It's on my Twitter page if you want to get the link for it. And then tomorrow I'll actually be doing a show with, you probably heard them do shows with Nate Milton on the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, like the Too Fast, Too Forever guys. I'm actually doing a show with those two guys, and we're talking about Five Deadly Venoms, which is an old Shaw Brothers kung fu flick from the 70s. One of my favorite movies of all time. So once I saw that they're reviewing Shaw Brothers movies, I'm like, dude, if you guys need me, like, I have, you know, I love that shit. So, yeah, we'll be recording that tomorrow. So once that's up, check my social media. I'm sure I'll be linking everybody for that as well. So that should be a pretty cool discussion.
Well, hey, very, very, all different shows that you're doing, and you're doing the wrestling stuff for Post and for Up Next. So thank you, man. Thank you for joining us, here today. And I had a lot of fun talking all about, all sorts of random shit with you. And shout out Dickie Bird for help running the Twitch stream.
Yes.
And just helping run all the strings. I mean, Sino, I mean, before we go, I mean, there's something that's probably needs to be said. I mean, WrestleMania is around the corner, but Up Next Mania is also around the corner. I say that because we haven't picked a date yet, because it's really hard because there's so much other wrestling going on. But once we have that date, oh boy. But you, good sir, you won. I mean, kind of. You won the Up Next Rumble this year in some controversial fashion. But you will be main eventing Up Next Mania against your own friend in real life, Fire Frank, who is the undisputed BDE champion. He beat me a few times. He's beaten everybody. He's unbeatable, frankly. I just, while I have you on the show, I mean, any thoughts on that? Your own friend, you got to fight him.
Yeah, and like ever since like he found out that I'm his challenger, he's just been not your friendly Fire Frank that you expected. Like, I checked my mail the other day, and I have like the contract was sent to me from Frank, and I'm just like, dude, like, no, like, it has no date on it, first of all. It's just to be determined, which I'm not going to sign if I don't know when we're fighting or wrestling, whatever you want to call it. And then, like, he doesn't want to do it in person. Like, dude, you live 15 minutes away. If we're going to do a contract signing, we need to do it live on Twitch, first of all. So that's number one before this match is even made official. I want to see face to face and actually have a contract signing with pen or blood or spaghetti sauce. Who knows what we're going to use. But yeah, and I'm going to have a sit-down discussion with Fire Frank Sr. and Mama Frank and see exactly what's going on in the mind of Frank. Because
whoa, you just bring the dude's mom into this, man? That's you know, what does his mom have to do with this?
I'm about to go into Fire Frank's house and take orange juice out of his fridge and start drinking it, and then sit down and have a nice little session with Fire Sr. and just talk about, you know, watching Jimi Hendrix concerts at Woodstock, because that's the Fire Frank I wanna fuck with is Senior. Junior over here, you better. I don't know. You know what I think he's doing? Honestly, I've been trying to keep track of him. I was able to look at his like YouTube search history, and this, you know what this dude's doing? He's doing tape trading, and he's like trying to find out about like New Japan and Old Japan. He's doing his research. He's scared. I think he's like not, you know, picking a date for this contract because he wants to do his New Japan research and history. That's exactly what he's doing. Because he knows that I have a couple tricks up my sleeve because I know all his weaknesses.
That's right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, he's a trivia machine. He's like the Beast. Like he's insane how much he knows about wrestling. But his weakness is Japanese wrestling. But I hope when he's tape trading and all that, that he's making sure that all the royalties go to all the families of all the tapes and pro wrestling that he buys from those time periods. But
yeah, yeah. And before I drop the pipe bomb here, Frank, this is gonna be your first show where you don't have me by your side. Giving you some help, if you know what I'm talking about.
Ooh, damn. Yeah, I mean, he has had you in his corner every time he's fought, but now you're going up against him. You are real friends in real life. He legit is unbeatable when it comes to wrestling trivia. And I think you're pretty good at trivia. You seem to know everything. You're like our little detective here, executive producer of the show. But I don't know. I think that's going to be a tough battle between you two.
Put it this trivia. Way. I know everything that Frank knows, but he doesn't know everything that I know.
So, damn. Well, it's going to go down. Follow the socials, guys, for all the updates for when that's going to happen. Because, yes, participation of audience and all that stuff is going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But look for the updates on that and everything. At Up Next Podcast on Twitter, and join the Facebook page and the Facebook group and all that stuff. And we'll be back with all these other podcasts out this week. But we appreciate you listening. And thank you, John, again, for filling in. Mr. See No Evil, hear him on Shot in the Dark. And Dickie for helping on the Twitch. That is it. That is all. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I'm at the Bray D. And I'm sure you said yours, but what is yours like? See No Evil?
See No Evil. CNOEVIL on all your social media.
All right. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.